Well, folks, Mason and Will are busy doing something or other, so Tyrim and I are going to finish the day off by interviewing Brill.
Hi, bro. I'm Tyrim, and this is Hen.
Oh, I know who you are.
Oh, right. It's strange having everyone suddenly know me.
That's what you get when you take on the entire colony's well-being. You become the communal dad.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's pretty spot on, actually. You're kind of like the stepdad who cares about me, but doesn't know me all that well yet.
I'll treat your imaginary mother well.
So, Brill, tell us about your time here on Colony 7-2.
Well, it was fine at first. I'm a medic, so I've seen a lot, but it was all pretty normal. Some injuries, a few sicknesses. I spend most of the day just doing checkups and things.
Were you one of the people who administered the vaccine to all of the newcomers?
Yes, actually. And one of my medic friends administered the vaccine to me, which is why I'm confident I'll get over this whole zombie bite thing.
Let's talk about that. How exactly did it happen?
I had an unexpected patient. I don't even know why the front desk sent him in, but suddenly I was being told I had a patient in one of my rooms. I went in to see him, and he was not looking good. He kept saying how hungry he was, and I swear he had a green tint to him. I went to examine him, and suddenly he started groaning, and then he transformed right in front of me.
And you just didn't have time to get away?
No, I had plenty of time. That's the thing. I made it to the door while he was still thrashing around, but the door was locked somehow. I didn't even know those doors could lock.
Weird.
I tried to fight back, but I'm not very strong. There was a struggle. I got bitten on my arm while I was trying to push him away. Then suddenly the door unlocked itself and swung open. The guards came streaming in to take care of the patient. I mean, the zombie.
Huh. That's odd.
That's what I've been saying. It all seems too coincidental, and I've been listening to your show, Hen, with Will and Mason. I really think this was planned. I think someone wanted me to get bitten. Now that Will's gone, maybe the council?
Well, we don't want to go throwing around accusations, right, Tyrim?
I don't know. I think Brill has a right to speak her mind.
That's enough. Shut the broadcast down.
What? Why?
This is slander. Talking about how the council orchestrated this horrible event. You should stop at once.
Whoa, hey now, Doctor. Don't you think that it's more suspicious to take down the entire broadcast than it would be just to let people speak? They do have the freedom of speech, after all.
That doesn't apply here.
As a councilman myself, I think it does. Why don't I walk you back to your lab so Hen and Brill can continue this broadcast?
This will have consequences, Tyrim.
I'm aware of that, Doctor. Come on, let's go.
That was, tense?
I know. Even Aja's on edge.
Maybe we should talk about something else. Just to lighten the mood a little.
If you say so. Let's see. Tomorrow's menu is going to be...
We're here.
That is one hell of a mansion.
It's certainly impressive. We're almost out of gas, Mason.
Ooh, how many trips do we have left?
Depends on where we're headed, I guess. Maybe one or two.
Should I knock?
Probably not. It's unlocked.
What kind of psycho leaves their door unlocked in the middle of a zombie apocalypse?
To be fair, he does live way up on this hill. There aren't many zombies around.
Yeah, I guess. God, this place is huge.
You check the second floor and I'll check the first?
Works for me. Be careful. Let's see. Bathroom. Bathroom. Jeez, how many bathrooms does one guy need? This must be a guest bedroom. There's not much in here. Oh, this has got to be the master suite. It's very well decorated. Definitely has a moon theme going on. Some kind of medical setup next to the right side of the bed. Not much on the left side except for an end table topped with a pair of glasses. I'm sure someone's really missing those right about now. There are two doors off of this room. One's got to be the bathroom. Yep, bathroom. But then what is this other door for? Oh, wow. Will, I found something.
On my way.
What did you find?
Our guy's personal laboratory, I think? Looks like a chemistry lab to me.
Yeah, there are a lot of, mysterious liquids here. Don't touch anything. Seems pretty dangerous.
Don't worry, I do not intend to mix the unknown substances. Oh, hey, a laptop. And it's locked.
Is there anything paused on the audio app that you can see from the lock screen?
Not that I can see. Maybe if we just press the pause button on the keyboard and hope he had an audio program open that'll respond to it? Here goes nothing.
Ubis, log 14, day 10 of the... of the apocalypse, it seems. Edia is doing... well. I comfort myself sometimes by finding ways of speaking to her which allow her to reply in some way. She so enjoys pointing at the stars I glued to the ceiling just for her. It seems everything I do is just for her, and yet I am never able to offer her the greatness she deserves. She's always loved the moon, always wanted to visit, always had this seemingly unachievable fantasy of living there one day. I made the moon colonies for her, for us, but... well, even if they're not ready, it's the apocalypse. I have to act fast. I'm only evacuating our county, our community. Edia has always put her loved one's safety above all else, and besides, I don't think the moon colonies could hold much more than that, even with the living population more than cut in half. The government has agreed to this plan since I'm funding it. Not to mention it will ensure that the human race lives on, one way or another. One way or another. End audio log.
That's... well, I guess that explains why the colony seemed like such rush jobs. They weren't even close to ready, and they weren't even made with anyone in mind except for this guy and his Edia.
Yeah, but if Simon made the colonies for Edia and himself, then why did he stay here on Earth? Why not live out Edia's dream on the moon where she could be safe?
Maybe he didn't trust the colony's readiness with her life. Or maybe her medical condition, whatever that is, made it impossible.
Hmm. It's getting dark out. Maybe we should stay the night here.
There's a guest room next to the master suite. We could use that.
Oh, does that...
yes, Will. I'm saying we should share the bed.
Well, okay then. Although, if you wanted, this guy is stupid rich. He probably has another guest room somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't really want to go looking for it. Do you?
Not really.
Then we'll share. Simple as that.
In Simon's defense, I don't think I would trust the moon colonies with your life either.
Yeah, they're sketchy. And you love me too much.
And I love you too much.
I love you too. Good night, Will.
Oh, hey, turn off the broadcast!
Oops, shit. Good night, everybody.
Now that's more my style. Expensive canvas portrait stolen from St. Ives Gallery. High reward.
That spot used to hold a portrait of my late husband. It took a lot of negotiation to get him back from the gallery in Munich.
I don't know who you think you are in the big city, Sunshine, but here, we don't give away people's private details unannounced.
A secret love affair?
Mum and Dad loved the drama of it all. They always discussed it when they thought I wasn't paying attention.
Ah, yes. Let's add a mysterious brown man to a crisis at a rich old white lady's house. I'm sure that couldn't possibly go wrong.
Everyone, I think there has been a medical emergency.
Detective Bailey Tempest in A Brush with Death. A genderqueer murder mystery in four parts.